Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What a difference a couple of days make. Friday night, everybody had the Yankees dead and buried and the Mets going to the World Series. All of a sudden, a couple of days, things done changed. We'll get to all that. The most important thing, though, right now is the deadline stuff. Deadline tomorrow, 6 p.m. And you're starting to already get the sense. You know, the Yankees go get Jazz, which is fine. It's, I don't think, a significant move. Clearly, they need more. The Mets get Winker. They get Stanek. You saw that worked out over the weekend. They clearly need more. But here's one thing that I will not tolerate from either team in this town, because you're already starting to see some of the reports. Ooh, the asking prices are very high for a starting pitcher. Hey, I got news for you. The Mets needed the starting pitcher before Senga went down. So this is not news. It shouldn't be news to anybody. Certainly not the Mets. Oh, all of a sudden the Mets have been thrown for a loop because they now need a starter without Senga. No, the Mets needed the starting pitcher before Senga went down. So they shouldn't be all thrown for a loop and caught by surprise here. You want to be taken seriously. We said this last week before Senga took the mound, who, by the way, Senga is irrelevant this season. Let's not make it like it's a big deal. Kodai Senga is irrelevant. He didn't pitch. He pitched half the game. That's it. The Mets did all that they did without him. They could do it again without him moving forward. They needed a top-end starter. It sucks that he's not going to be that guy potentially, but they needed that anyway before he came back. So let's not hear about, oh, the prices are high. Same thing with the Yankees. Like, yeah, the Yankees won two games over the weekend in Boston, and that's great that they did, but none of the additions helped. And it's not Jazz. There's not the Jazz effect. I mean, the Yankees guys that were there got the job done. But let's not try now, whether it's the Mets or Yankees, to soften the blow of a potential flop at the deadline. If you want to be taken seriously from the Mets' perspective first, you need to go out there and get a top-end starting pitcher, high-end starting pitcher. End of story. They needed that before Friday. They certainly need that after Friday. You also need a legitimate bullpen arm. The one thing I said, now Winker takes care of the issues with the offense. Now it's just up to those guys to get going to do what they have been doing the majority of the year, which I think they will do. But the offense is now set. You got the lefty bat, fine. Insignificant move or a minor move, good upgrade, good job by the Mets. They added bullpen arms, whether it's Maton, whether it's Stanek. They haven't added the bullpen arm. The Angels closer that went to Philadelphia, that was the guy. All right, too rich for your blood? Go get somebody else. Like a legit, not a take a flyer on a guy with a 4 or 5 ERA. Go get a legit lockdown arm in the bullpen. This is if you want to be taken seriously. And if you don't, I understand that, then just wave the white flag. But if you want to be taken seriously going into the postseason, they minimum, the Mets, needed a legit bullpen arm and a high-end starter. If the Mets don't come away with Snell, and I know Skubal is going to be a near impossibility, although I threw out the idea of taking on Javi Baez's contract. Like, there are ways to get it done. Nothing's impossible. You know, the Giants could have had Drake May. They just didn't want to pay the price that it would have taken to trade up to get to number 3. The Mets could get Skubal. They just don't want to pay the price in all likelihood. They could get Snell. Do they want to pay that price? They could be in and go get Flaherty. Do they want to pay that price? So they have to weigh their options. But if you're talking about being taken seriously this year, trying to go win a World Series, I don't want to hear, quote, they're going for it, and then see, well, they added Stanek and Winker, and then us thinking that, oh, yeah, that's going for it. That's not nearly enough. That's the bare minimum. Similar to what we saw in 2022. When they first got Vogel back, it was like, okay, yeah, that's a nice move, but there's more, you know, there's way more to come. And that didn't mean Darren Ruff. Like, they fell way short in 2022, and looked what happened. And again this year, now again, deadline's tomorrow, but you're starting to get the sense now, oh, the asking prices are so high. And this, hey, you either go for it or you don't. So we'll see if the Mets are going to go for it. Similar with the Yankees. You know, did the Yankees want to go all in and double, triple down on this roster with Soto? Or do they want to just get the guys that are convenient or easier to get? Like, adding Jazz in theory, I guess, is great, right? He's a guy with star potential. He's been a star, terrific personality. I don't care what they say about the clubhouse. You look at the guy's smile. He's happy to be here, saying he'll play wherever, you know, they need. easy person. Now, the fit on the field, you know, he strikes out a ton. His numbers aren't really good. They want him to play a position that he hasn't played at all. I mean, that's a little bit quirky. But either way, it was a move to upgrade their team and their roster. Was it the move? No. Are the Yankees going to have the stones to get to make the move? So far, we haven't seen that. They were in on Paredes. He ends up going to the Cubbies. So, I mean, we'll see what the other moves are going to be out there. But did the Yankees need a starter? I mean, after you watch Rodon last night, you think, oh, maybe not. But that's the problem. You just don't know. So I think they could use a starter. They could certainly use bullpen help. They need another arm in the bullpen. Which is it going to be, though? Is it going to be taking a flyer on some guys? You know, what about third base? Where are the Yankees looking for third base? Is this officially it now? Or are they going to move Gleyber Torres, move Jazz to second, and then go get a third baseman? What moves? You know, all those big moves that we were talking about for the Yankees and the Mets, they have not happened yet. And by some of the reports, a lot of the reporters have, and again, I know this is the par for the course here. This is what happens. Deadline gets near. Prices are high. They start to come down a little bit as you get closer to 6 p.m. tomorrow. So we'll see. But both these teams, now it's different with the Mets because it's first year with President David Stearns. We're going to find out about Stearns. I think Cohen has the guts to go for it. We'll see this year. He also wants to keep the prospects intact. You know, keep all those, the farm system intact before, you know, next offseason and try to go all in maybe next offseason. So we'll see how the Mets play it here, but there should be no halfway. And it also shouldn't just be all a shocking sudden pivot because Kodai Senga went down. They needed a top starter anyway. And the Yankees have shown a reluctancy. Like, where's all the, yo, all right, go get this superstar, that superstar, and trade Spencer Jones for it? I never bought that anyway, that the Yankees would trade Spencer Jones or Jason Dominguez, certainly. And they still might, obviously, deadline tomorrow, so they could. But where are those big moves? Where are those moves coming? Are the Yankees going to go get a top starter to pair with Gerrit Cole or have insurance in case Gerrit Cole doesn't return to form? Are they going to go get one of the top bullpen arms available? Or is the price going to be too rich yet again? That's going to be the biggest question here because regardless of what you think of each, the Mets and Yankees, they are both in it. I mean, as bad as the weekend was for the Mets, it's laughable to think like, wow, they split a series with the Braves and now it's all over. It's all over. Oh my God, they lost two games in a row to the Braves. What are we going to do? I mean, relax. Relax. Have you not learned anything from the start of the season? It's a long season. Now 50-some-odd games to go, it's a shorter season here. But the Mets are right in the thick of things, and they're going to be in the thick of things throughout the course of the rest of the season. Will they make the moves necessary to put them over the top? Same thing with the Yankees. As bad as they have been, and they have been one of the worst teams in baseball outside of the historically bad Chicago White Sox for 7 full weeks before finally turning it around this weekend. In dramatic fashion, Saturday night, I might add. If not for the butcher, Tyler O'Neill, in the outfield, I mean, maybe the Yankees would have lost that series. But nonetheless, they showed resilience, the offense starting to light it up again, even ahead of all the acquisitions. Will the Yankees go all in and put all the chips in the middle of the table, getting what fans think and what maybe the Yankees think, although what I trust more what the fans think, are the final pieces to putting a World Series team together? They're both right there. The opportunities are there. It's just a matter of who is going to go the extra mile to make the proper additions. You've seen other teams do it so far, making big moves. When will the Mets and Yankees step up and make the big moves? Because the moves they've made so far are fine. Those aren't the ones that are needed to get these teams to be legitimate World Series contenders. Certainly from the Mets' perspective, some could argue that the Yankees could be there anyway. I am not that person. I still don't trust this team. I think they need more. We'll find out what happens. But I don't want to hear about, oh, the price is too high right now. You either are all in or you're not. This is your last chance to improve your ball clubs. Who's in? BT and Sal on the Fan. BT is off today. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Hi, Sal. You're absolutely right. The Mets and Yankees are right there. And the Mets, they got us all excited. I don't want to hear anything about the cost. We know the cost is high, and they know the cost is high. All right, you know, it's a poker game. I don't expect anything today. The prices will go down a little bit tomorrow. But you got to come away with a good starter and a good reliever, Sal. No excuses.
If the Mets do not, thank you for the call, Ray. If the Mets do not come away from tomorrow's trade deadline without Snell, Skubal, or Flaherty, it will be a massive, massive disappointment and fail to a certain extent. And that's the big ask. But at the bare minimum, if they're not going to do that, at the bare minimum, they need another starter and a top bullpen arm. If they don't do that, I don't know what to tell you. Then they're just not going all in that, you know, it was rumored to be. And here's the trick. Like, I'm not saying the Mets need to get reckless and trade all their top prospects. However, let's just say of their top 10 prospects, and I don't have the exact list in front of me, but you've heard some of the names before, whether it's Gilbert, Williams, Acuna, some of the young arms, you know, like Vassell. Oh, we heard about Vassell all year last year. Now you can't find the guy. So these guys, the prospects are what they are. They're prospects. So of, let's say, their top 10 in the farm system right now, how many do you think, best case scenario, will pan out to be impactful big leaguers? Like, you're lucky if you hit on two, maybe three of the top 10. You're lucky if you get that production. So it's their job to identify the ones who they don't think will pan out. Then you trade those guys. And if you trade a top 10, now look, you know, maybe the Orioles can offer more. Not maybe, I mean, by all accounts, they can offer more than not only the Mets, but what the Yankees could offer for, let's say, Skubal or Flaherty, whoever, a top pitcher. Even the Mets' best prospects might not be able to get the job done. However, it doesn't mean that some combination of a top 10 prospect and taking on bad salary can't make you get the moves done to go all in this year. And I would look at it in isolation. While you have to be smart about the future as well, same thing for the Yankees. Like, they can't just go out there recklessly trading Spencer Jones and Dominguez just to do it. Like, it's got to be the right move, the perfect move, the move that you think solidifies your team to put you over the top. You also have to identify, as I said, the right guy or guys to move. The Yankees seem to do well at that, trading the right players. How many of the prospects that they traded over the years have come back to bite them and become a star elsewhere? Like, you barely ever hear them about them again. And that's because they've been reluctant to give up the top guys. But still, at this point, at some point, you've got to go all in. And if you look at just this year in isolation, where both the Mets and Yankees are at, there's no reason to think that they don't have chances to go all the way. I mean, would I bet that the Mets are going to win the World Series this year? Absolutely not. I wouldn't bet it for the Yankees either, but I can understand why some people would. I wouldn't do either team right now, but they could. I mean, I wouldn't have bet the Diamondbacks would go to the World Series a year ago. So to what extent will each New York team go to upgrade their team where there are clear areas of upgrade needed ahead of the deadline? I don't want to hear about the cost. Hey, that's what it is. You want a nice car? You want fancy cars? You want a nice house? You want to go out to a steak dinner? You got to pay the price. You can't say, well, I want a filet mignon and then go to, you know, Wendy's or McDonald's, whatever. Sean is calling from Orlando, Florida. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Sal? How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you, Sean?
Good, man. I got two trades, but it's for three players that the Yankees could do that I think would actually put them over the top. And one of them is with Tampa, because Tampa's selling everybody right now. And Tampa is actually getting big returns for their trade. So they traded that Adam reliever to San Diego for their number one prospect and two other guys. But I think they should try, it has to be Spencer Jones, but for Yandy Diaz and Fairbanks.
Yeah, well, they were supposed to, right. So they were rumored to be in on Fairbanks over the weekend, and it sounded like they were close, and then all of a sudden a report came out, well, they're not that close, and now here we are a couple of days later. So, yeah, that could be a move, and thank you for the call, Sean. Where you get two for one. Rays don't seem reluctant to trade in the division at all, obviously. I mean, that's been proven. They're just giving guys away here. Not giving guys away, but they're trading off a bunch of guys and, you know, rebuilding here. Going for a full-out rebuild. They made their decision, even with a record. I mean, it's shocking what the Rays are doing. Two games over 500. And you look at the landscape of Major League Baseball with the extra teams being in it. The record and the standings is not as impactful as the front office evaluation of what they have. You saw this last year with the Mets, where technically they were in it. And in hindsight, I mean, after the way that it went with the Diamondbacks, who's to say that the Mets with Verlander or Scherzer or keeping Robertson at the time, because that was the first move that said, okay, the Mets are going to sell off. If they decided to stand pat, maybe they could have made the postseason. And who knows what could have happened. Now, I agreed that they didn't have the team, and they thought that obviously by trading it down and trying to trading it away and trying to expedite the rebuilding process, okay, that was the move that they made there. But technically, they could have made the postseason, just like the Rays this year, just like the Cubs. A week ago, it was all the Cubs are going to be sellers, and maybe Cody Bellinger will be available for the Yankees. And now, all of a sudden, the Cubs look to be buyers, and the Rays are like, hey, you know what? Yeah, we're in it, two games over, but we're going to maximize our return right now where it seems that the seller's market is a great one. Take advantage of a seller's market and see what happens the rest of the way anyway, but try to expedite a little rebuild. And maybe the Yankees could take advantage of that. Fairbanks would be a great addition. He's a legitimate bullpen arm. That's what the Yankees need. That's what the Mets need. Not just Stanek, who was a legitimate bullpen arm and now is having an awful year, and then the Mets go get him. Like, they need more than that. Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad?
Sal. Felt like you walking into Friday. I honestly figured Friday night we were going to win. And then Saturday and Sunday just fell on deaf ears. But at the end of the day, man, you're right. I mean, prospects are prospects. And this team has, I mean, I'm really going to bring it back to 2015. 2015, I remember to the minute of the deadline, everybody was like, oh, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Oh, we're going to get Jay Bruce. Oh, we're going to get Carlos Gomez. Blah, blah, blah. If Stearns does not do something by Tuesday, he's not, well, first off, he's not King Cohen anymore, figuring he's not going to use his money anymore. And I know it's Stearns. And at the end of the day, it's the Wilpon Mets.
Well,
you don't know. You don't know. Can I finish?
Go ahead, good luck.
You don't know when you're going to get another opportunity like this. The team is gelling, even though they lost two games in a row. You need to take advantage of these opportunities. And the last 2 years have shown you the Phillies got in and got to the World Series, didn't finish the job. Arizona got in and got to the World Series and didn't finish the job. If you're listening, David Stearns, Scooble, Flaherty, or Snell by Tuesday, like Sal said, or this is garbage.
Agreed, Brad. Very well said, and thank you for the call. I agree with a lot of what you said right there. You never know how a season's going to play out. You can plan it out, map it out, next offseason, the following season, prospects come up this year, that year. You never know. What you do know is right now you have a shot. Forget the two losses to Atlanta. Everybody's making too big a deal of that. They split a series with the Marlins and Nationals, and now all of a sudden people are going to go nuts and be negative. Yeah, I think they missed a great opportunity to take 3 or 4. Okay, it happens. Big deal. They're 500. They're still a game and a half back of Atlanta for the top wild card spot. They'll be fine. But if they want to go for it, there are moves to be made. Stanek and Winker are fine. Those are the appetizers. We want the main course. Same for the Yankees. Jazz is great. It's an appetizer. We want the main course. Will our teams deliver?
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Apparently, BT and Sal back on the fan. BT's off, so it's just me. Apparently, I've got the power. Met fans think I have the power to jinx the New York Mets. Are you out of your minds? Come on, come back to me here, please. I mean, geez, when they win, it's all because of Grimace. When they lose, it's all because of me. What did I do? I can't join in on the fun? For those keeping record at home, Friday's show, we're having some fun with the Mets beating the Braves on Thursday, and then they were a half game back going into Friday. And Friday's show with BT, I was here, we're joking around, saying, I said, joking around, the NL wildcard race is over. you know, playing off of 2022. I didn't think I had to spell it out for anybody because the NL East's over prediction went sideways back in 2022. So we're having some fun with it. Then on Friday, that was Friday during the day. Friday night, when the Mets were clobbering the Braves, I had some fun on social media with it. Tweeting, the NL wildcard race is over. That's it. After Alvarez hit the home run, place was going nuts. We were feeling good. And then, you know, things kind of went south from there. And I, not Brandon Nimmo, not Tylor McGill, not David Peterson, not Francisco Alvarez, not Pete Alonso, I took the blame. I mean, come on, what is going on here? I wish I had that kind of power. I wish. For the record, last night, about 2 hours before the Yankee game, I tweeted out the Yanks will win tonight. So what, my powers are only exclusive to jinxing the Mets when it's convenient for you to have that narrative? I mean, people are nuts. So much so, Frank the Tank goes nuts, and, you know, he wants to have, I mean, look, I get it, all fun and games, I guess, but come on now. Don't blame me. Blame them. They win, it's Grimace. They lose, it's Sal Licata. Come on, I get more blame than Billy Epler in 2022. You don't blame Buck Showalter in 2022. You don't blame Max Scherzer. You blame me. And now again, it's convenient to blame a little old tweet from me. Like, I have that kind of power. Now, they better win tonight. I can't take another loss. Score some runs, for goodness sake. And you better not disappoint. Stearns, Cohen, I'm talking to you. This is a big deadline. Your team is right there. Go for it. Win or lose, succeed or fail the rest of the way of the postseason, at least you go for it. You have an opportunity. Who knows? The caller's point before he made a good one back in 2015, I didn't think that was a World Series team. A lot of people didn't think it was a World Series team. But with the right moves, it could have been. And it was. They reluctantly, begrudgingly fell into Cespedes. Alderson didn't even want to do it. They ended up getting Cespedes, and even with him, nobody really thought they were a World Series team, but they did go to the World Series. They took off with the right moves, with this mix, with guys having career years, with the chemistry being what it is. They can go beyond whatever the expectations we had of them. Similar for the Yankees, the big difference is the Yankees have had the high expectations, and the Yankees have two of the best players in the world with Soto and Judge. And you've seen the difference, what, you know, Verdugo and Gleyber Torres, when just two guys, or Austin Wells, when a couple of guys look competent, it's a major difference with that Yankee lineup, but they're not finished yet. They need to add to this team to put them over the top and go get to and win their first World Series since 2009. The opportunity is there. What will the Mets and Yankees do? Jason from Great Neck. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Sal. It's a pleasure. If the Yankees are serious, they need major help with their starting rotation. Why not try to go out and get this guy, Trevor Bauer? He was clear of any wrongdoing.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to tell me you wouldn't want Trevor Bauer on your team
now? Jason, I get it. I'm over, and thank you for the call. I'm over the Bauer conversation. I don't know how much more of the Bauer conversation we could have. BT and I had him in studio before the season. BT and I both said that we thought he was remorseful. We would think both teams in New York, I said more specifically the Yankees with where they were at, should have taken a chance on Trevor Bauer. And they didn't. Neither team was interested before or after the interview. And they're not going to get him now. So it's kind of just, to me, like beating it. I don't even want to use the old term, but beating a drum to oblivion. I don't know. Is it offensive to horses if you say beating a dead horse? Like, that's probably not appropriate anymore, right? I'm not sure. But anyway, you get the point. There's no point in talking about Trevor Bauer because it's not going to happen. Could they theoretically use him in the rotation? Yes, they could. So could the Mets. But it's not just that. The Mets definitely right now I wouldn't go near him because I wouldn't want that cloud that Bauer's going to bring to take away from the otherwise positive vibes that have been going on with the Mets since the end of May. With the Yankees, a little bit of a different story. I don't think it would be that shocking to their system to bring in Trevor Bauer, but I also understand why they wouldn't go for it. Look, there are other moves to be made here. And if you were going to be interested in Bauer, the time would have been months ago, not now. That's not a move that you make now. John is on Staten Island. What's up, Johnny?
Sal, I love you, man. Great show.
Love you too, John. Thank you. What's up?
Sal, not a doubt in my mind. If Senga didn't get hurt, if we would have swept them a 1-3 out of 4, I just think it was such an emotional toll, the timing. But you know what? The good thing is that the Mets have shown when they hit these little skids, and I give credit to Mendy that they bounce back.
Yep.
That being said, they better get their heads out of there. You know what? And you know, what's done is done. I mean, the timing sucks, but you got to put McGill in the bullpen. The guy's showing that he's a bullpen pitcher.
Easy. McGill's a problem. Like, people want to blame the stupid tweet that I had or Senga. Even you, John, I'm not blaming the Senga. Senga, you know what Senga's been this year? He's non-impactful on this team. He's a non-factor. I mean, he wasn't.
Right.
As they said before, I think it was Mendoza who said it after the game, look, we did what we did to this point without him. So let's not make it like this is a death blow to the season.
No.
The way that he pitched, and I get what you're saying, because the way that he pitched Friday night gave you hope that the ace was back and maybe you didn't need to add.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Right. But you know what? He's been a non-factor. He hasn't had anything to do with the season.
But we need 2 starting pitchers, Sal.
Well, look, losing Christian Scott hurt. And I agree, John, and thank you for the call. You're right, because I said they needed a top-end starter before Friday. That was with the assumption that Senga was coming back. I didn't know how good Senga would look. He looked great. That's what makes it hurt even more. If Senga walked the ballpark and gave up 4 or 5 runs, nobody would be going nuts. But because he looked lights out, dominant ace, it hurt. Because the potential with having him there. And by the way, he's not officially ruled out for the entire season. It seems likely he's going to miss the season or the regular season. Who knows if they make the playoffs? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying it wasn't definitive, at least what I saw. It said likely out the rest of the regular season. As long as Kodai Senga came back for game one of the postseason or game whatever of the postseason, I think we'd all sign up for that right now. But it's not like Senga was... It wasn't a part, non-factor, insignificant. The potential, yes. What you saw Friday, yes, you missed that. But the reality is they haven't needed them this year. They've been fine without them. Now, I will say Tyler McGill in it. Like, when they were starting to talk about putting Tyler McGill in the rotation, oh, God, here we go with Tyler McGill. And then David Peterson showing, you know, reverting back to form yesterday. That's just unfortunate for the Mets, where they had an opportunity to put their foot on the throat of the Braves a little bit and take 3 or 4. They had Tyler McGill and David Peterson going. And in the spot where their bats are, like, the Mets are going to have to win with their bats. Clearly, that's how they've been doing it so far this year. So when their bats have gone cold, you can't rely on Tyler McGill and David Peterson. That's why they need a top-end starter. And another bullpen arm. Rich is calling from Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Sal the Mush, how you doing today?
What's up, Rich? How are you?
I'm doing well. Man, yeah, I agree. I mean, you were getting roasted yesterday for no good reason whatsoever. I mean, when you do deserve it, okay. But in this point in time, it's not your fault that the players decided not to play.
I mean,
anyway.
And by the way, like, Rich, you want to get on me for 2022? Sure, because that was legitimate. Like, in May, I was really feeling the division was over. This one on Friday, it was a joke, and people taking it so seriously. Now, I will say that I still do think the Mets are going to finish ahead of the Braves in the wild card standings, but that was clearly a joke. I mean, my goodness, I get to blame, but not the players? Come on now.
All right, here are my 2 baseball points for today, and here we go. Number 1, Mets and Yankees fans, be careful what you ask for when you trade with the Rays. Hmm. They do not lose trades, and if they're offering you their players, then they must know something why they want to get rid of them. They have a history of that. Number 2 is tonight and for the next couple of days, Mets fans, as much as you don't want to hear this, it's time for Mets fans for Yankees.
Oh, no, Rich, no way. The Mets are 5 games over. Why do you think that's the case?
Would you want a little help with the little spurt that the Mets are going through right now to widen that right now to help the Mets, you know, get a little closer? Yeah, you better be rooting for the Yankees today and in the series against Philly.
Well, that's a different story, and thank you for the call, Rich. Big series for the Yanks tonight in Philadelphia. Look, the Yanks' offense right now looks like they've turned the corner, and you could see that even after the loss on Friday, with Austin Wells, Gleyber Torres contributing, Verdugo starting to get it going. So this had nothing to do with the major trades or Jazz coming in or Stan coming back. The Yankees, which they had to do all along, have to fix this thing from within if they are to have an opportunity. And so far, over the last couple of games, it has worked. You know, rooting, Met fans rooting for the Yankees to beat the Phillies? Yeah, sure. I mean, go out there and sweep the Phillies and have the Mets sweep the Twins, and the Mets could be in the division race. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Now, I don't think it's likely, but it's not impossible. 10-game lead with, you know, 5 games to go, whatever it is. We've seen it before. 7-game lead with 17 to go. Nothing should be over yet, but the Mets have to make the right moves. And yeah, I mean, I thought you were saying that the Mets need to give up their season and start rooting for the Yankees. That's what I thought you meant. Not in this isolated series. Sure, go beat the Phillies. That'll only help the Mets. Mets did what they had to do. They swept the Yankees. I don't care if the Yankees win a game the rest of the year. Or you know, win every game the rest of the year. Good for them.
And it takes a knee of the New York Giants. The Super Bowl 42 champion.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yankees turning point of the game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. You know, on the trades, BT and Sal back on The Fan. BT is off today, and tomorrow will be back Wednesday. On the trades that were made over the weekend, I'm not going to knock the Yankees for Jazz because I do think it's an upgrade to the roster, and I like him. I like his personality, regardless of what some have said. You know, I told you on, Thursday, Friday, that some of the stuff that I heard, you know, was that maybe he wasn't the best guy, but, you know, he could play. So, I mean, those are things that you have to weigh. And there's been a little bit of a history with him, but I personally like his personality. I like the backwards hat stuff. I like that it's different. He's got to be himself and looks like he's having fun and obviously thrilled to be a Yankee. And what I like even more about it is that when they asked him about playing third base where he's never played before, he's like, yeah, whatever needs to happen, you know, to let the team win, I'm all for that. As opposed to Gleyber Torres is like, nah, I'm a second baseman. I'm not a third baseman. I'm a second baseman. Whoa. Well, okay then, Gleyber. Now, with that in mind, you have to assume that the Yankees know that as well. Gleyber doesn't want to play third base, so it's not about moving him. Then, if anything, Jazz is going to have to play third base on the fly, or they're going to have to move Gleyber Torres, which they should do anyway. Now, the problem is Gleyber's starting to get going offensively, and he's showing you what a difference maker he could be in lengthening out that lineup when he is on. However, do you ultimately trust him come postseason? I mean, even before postseason, like, do we really think this is what Gleyber's going to be the rest of the way? Not to mention the airhead plays that happen with him in the field. If the Yankees are going to win a World Series, they have to move on from Gleyber Torres. Like, enough's enough. Yeah, this is great. The potential that he's showing again offensively is contributing. I know you, now it seems like you don't want to give that up because it's been an integral part. You can make that up elsewhere and move on from him. And add a winning player, maybe like Jazz. Maybe Jazz could be that guy. We don't know. We haven't seen him win, you know, with the Marlins at the level that the Yankees are looking to win, certainly. So we know, though, what Gleyber Torres has been in the postseason. And it was an odd move in that, yeah, we heard the name for a while, Jazz and, you know, the Yankees being connected, but it wasn't a real fit. Yankees don't need a center fielder, and with Gleyber Torres there, they don't need a second baseman. So where does he fit? And if they're not going to hit him leadoff, that's interesting. And you look at his numbers, he's not having a great year. I mean, those aren't all-star numbers. Big name, sure. Yankees, again, go after a big name. But was it the best piece to make this team better? As with the Mets, they did add Winker, who's not a superstar, but he's having a good season, a very good season, and he fits exactly what they need. There's no like, huh, they got Winker. Where are they going to put him now? Like, he fills a need. He's a significant upgrade over DJ Stewart. Lefty bat that can play the outfield. Good fielder, put the bat on the ball. It's a clear need. The Yankees need more of those clear needs. Go get them, not just bring in big names. Larry is calling from Westchester. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Sal, how you doing, buddy?
How are you, Larry?
Good. Listen, Sal, couldn't agree with you more about the Mets being all in. You're either all in or you're not. And I think one of the big moves they should try and make is contact Oakland and see if Mason Miller is available. And they should start a trade with them for Brett Beatty, the first prospect I would offer, and then do what it takes, either a Clifford, Gilbert, Acuna, Brandon Sproat.
Right.
Take two of those guys, throw Beatty in, and see if Oakland would be tempted.
Yeah.
What do you think?
See, now you're talking, Larry, and thank you for the call. Now, I'm not sure what's up with Miller because he's currently on the IL. And I think you're probably giving a little too much, although with the prices being high, maybe that's what you have to pay. I certainly be willing to give up Beatty. And it's not just like Beatty's a total bust. I mean, there is still some potential with Brett Beatty, so I would assume there's some value. But clearly, if you ask Mets fans to part with a prospect, Beatty's going to be the guy. Because we've seen him up here a couple times. He's failed. You know, you get Vientos emerging at third base. Whereas if I asked you this trade a year ago, everybody probably would have said Vientos first and not Beatty. So it just goes to show you that who the hell knows. I don't know if I'd give up two of the other top guys, especially not for Miller. For a starter, maybe a different story. But that's what you're talking about, Larry. That's a good trade offer. Not all these guys are going to hit. Is Sproat going to pan out? Who knows? Jet Williams or Acuna or Gilbert? Now, you shouldn't have to give up your top, you know, top five guys, but top 10, sure. Maybe two guys plus Beatty, you know, a top 10 and maybe a top 20 and Beatty. Point is, the Mets should be willing to do that because this team is worth investing in. They've gotten to this point. It was very, very hard work for them to get to this point, to dig out of the 0-5 start, to dig out of the 11 games under multiple times. They've done the hard work to jump over all the teams in the National League. I mean, there was a point where there was one or two teams behind the Mets in the National League. Just because the standings are saying, well, they're technically in it, there's only two teams behind them. Well, they've jumped over almost all of them at this point. They've done the hard work. The season's on. For real. And once you get to the postseason, who knows? That means you have to go for it. Padres hitting their stride right now. They look like a legitimate team. And I do think ultimately the Padres will catch the Braves. I do. The Braves are going to sink. The Braves just have not been very good. They'll come back to the pack. Sometimes it's just not your year. And we felt that way with Atlanta, maybe, you know, waiting for them to fall off. But this year, they've been ravaged by injury. They've had guys underperforming left and right. Be shocking if they held on. I do think the Padres and Mets will both pass them. Now, can the Mets win the division? Probably not. Like, logically, you'd say that that's not going to be the case. But can they be a top wild card team? Yeah. Or even if they get the second wild card, who matters? What's the difference? Who cares? It doesn't matter. You just got to get in the postseason. Third wild card, second wild card, first wild card. Obviously, you'd rather have the first wild card. But just get in, and then you can do damage. And the Mets have that opportunity. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
Mush Licata, how we doing, buddy?
What's up, Hector?
What's going on, man? First of all, thank you for last night. We don't got to get into it, but thank you for last night. That was awesome. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, well, just to clarify, I was on your podcast.
Well, not necessarily mine, but yes,
whatever, a podcast. Yes. I mean, people are like, what the hell happened last night with Hector and Sal? It was a podcast. He asked me to go on the podcast. Go ahead.
No. Yes. I asked you last minute if you could come on, and you did, and that was great. It was tons of fun. And so thank you for that. But no, listen, man, I'm right there with you with this whole thing. And for me, Sal is like David Stearns with his little smirk, right? And I've been defending this dude. I've been like, you know, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't screwed up a deadline for us. If you accepted the approach they took in the offseason, whether you liked it or not, it's been pretty successful. But the guy has also played with words a lot, you know, with the whole trying to be competitive and all of this stuff. And now we hear that they're going for it. Like I said last night, what does that really mean? We're thinking, you know, they're going for it. They're all in, and they're going to make whatever moves it takes reasonably to make this team, more of a winning team or give it a better chance. So I wonder, and listen, I understood when he came in to evaluate, right? You're going to evaluate as a new guy. You want to see what's going on from within. But he also told us the whole time, these players believe in themselves. They think they can be competitive. They think they can be good. If they show that, we're going to go out there and back them up. Now, they've made these little moves, you know, Waker was good. Maton has been solid. We'll see with Stanek. But, yeah, man, I want to go out there and I want to try to, because I'm not, this whole planning for the future stuff and this new way of fandom now that's all about value and, and you know, prospects. I just can't get into that style. I just can't. And I understand it's important if you want to be sustainable, you know, sustainable success and all of that. But I don't think you can pass up on an opportunity like you have right now.
You nailed it, Hector, and thank you for the call. You nailed it. You can't pass up opportunities. They have an opportunity right now. This is in life, a life lesson for you from your pal Sal. You cannot pass up opportunities. The Mets have an opportunity right there in front of them. Whether we believe they're a World Series team or not, it doesn't matter. They are there. They're in the conversation. They've gotten there. There's not a team that's two games under and you're hoping to get over the 500 mark. They've worked themselves, even with losing two in a row, to a point where they're over 500. They're chasing down the top spot in the wild card. And then once they get there, they could be potentially going after the Phillies who've been struggling themselves. You have to go for it. 50 games left. What more do you need to see? You'd be doing yourself and your fan base a disservice. The Mets should go for it, and they should have the resources with the finances that Cohen has to outbid anybody. Take on a bad contract. I don't care what they do. Figure it out.
He takes a knee, and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. You know, on the trades, BT and Sal back on The Fan. BT is off today, and tomorrow will be back Wednesday. On the trades that were made over the weekend, I'm not going to knock the Yankees for Jazz because I do think it's an upgrade to the roster, and I like him. I like his personality, regardless of what some have said. You know, I told you on, I guess, Thursday, Friday, that some of the stuff that I heard, you know, was that maybe he wasn't the best guy, but, you know, he could play. So, I mean, those are things that you have to weigh. And there's been a little bit of a history with him, but I personally like his personality. I like the backwards hat stuff. I like that it's different. He's got to be himself and looks like he's having fun and obviously thrilled to be a Yankee. And what I like even more about it is that when they asked him about playing third base where he's never played before, he's like, yeah, whatever needs to happen, you know, to let the team win, I'm all for that. As opposed to Gleyber Torres, who's like, nah, I'm a second baseman. I'm not a third baseman, I'm a second baseman. Whoa, well, okay then, Gleyber. Now, with that in mind, you have to assume that the Yankees know that as well. Gleyber doesn't want to play third base, so it's not about moving him. Then, if anything, Jazz is going to have to play third base on the fly, or they're going to have to move Gleyber Torres, which they should do anyway. Now, the problem is Gleyber is starting to get going offensively, and he's showing you what a difference maker he could be in lengthening out that lineup when he is on. However, do you ultimately trust him come postseason? I mean, even before postseason, like, do we really think this is what Gleyber's going to be the rest of the way? Not to mention the airhead plays that happen with him in the field. If the Yankees are going to win a World Series, they have to move on from Gleyber Torres. Like, enough's enough. Yeah, this is great. The potential that he's showing again offensively, he's contributing. I know now it seems like you don't want to give that up because it's been an integral part. You can make that up elsewhere and move on from him. And add a winning player, maybe like Jazz. Maybe Jazz could be that guy. We don't know. We haven't seen him win, you know, with the Marlins at the level that the Yankees are looking to win, certainly. So we know, though, what Gleyber Torres has been in the postseason. And it was an odd move in that, yeah, we heard the name for a while, Jazz and, you know, the Yankees being connected, but it wasn't a real fit. Yankees don't need a center fielder, and with Gleyber Torres there, they don't need a second baseman. So where does he fit? And if they're not going to hit him leadoff, that's interesting. And you look at his numbers, he's not having a great year. I mean, those aren't all-star numbers. Big name, sure. Yankees, again, go after a big name. But was it the best piece to make this team better? As with the Mets, they did add Winker, who's not a superstar, but he's having a good season, a very good season, and he fits exactly what they need. There's no like, huh, they got Winker. Where are they going to put him now? Like, he fills a need. He's a significant upgrade over DJ Stewart. Lefty bat that can play the outfield. Good fielder, put the bat on the ball. It's a clear need. The Yankees need more of those clear needs. Go get them, not just bring in big names. Larry is calling from Westchester. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Sal, how you doing, buddy?
How are you, Larry?
Good. Listen, Sal, couldn't agree with you more about the Mets being all in. You either all in or you're not. And I think one of the big moves they should try and make is contact Oakland and see if Mason Miller is available. And they should start a trade with them for Brett Beatty, the first prospect I would offer, and then do what it takes. Either a Clifford, Gilbert, Acuna, Brandon Sproat.
Right.
Take two of those guys, throw Beatty in, and see if Oakland would be tempted.
Yeah.
What do you think?
See, now you're talking, Larry, and thank you for the call. Now, I'm not sure what's up with Miller because he's currently on the IL. And I think you're probably giving a little too much, although with the prices being high, maybe that's what you have to pay. I would certainly be willing to give up Beatty. And it's not just like Beatty's a total bust. I mean, there is still some potential with Brett Beatty, so I would assume there's some value. But clearly, if you ask Met fans to part with a prospect, Beatty's going to be the guy. Because we've seen him up here a couple times. He's failed. You know, you get Vientos emerging at third base. Whereas if I asked you this trade a year ago, everybody probably would have said Vientos first and not Beatty. So it just goes to show you that who the hell knows. I don't know if I'd give up two of the other top guys, especially not for Miller. For a starter, maybe a different story. But that's what you're talking about, Larry. That's a good trade offer. Not all these guys are going to hit. Is Sproat going to pan out? Who knows? Jet Williams or Acuna or Gilbert? Now, you shouldn't have to give up your top, you know, top five guys, but top 10, sure. Maybe two guys plus Beatty, you know, a top 10 and maybe a top 20 and Beatty. Point is, the Mets should be willing to do that because this team is worth investing in. They've gotten to this point. It was very, very hard work for them to get to this point, to dig out of the 0-5 start, to dig out of the 11 games under multiple times. They've done the hard work to jump over all the teams in the National League. I mean, there was a point where there was one or two teams behind the Mets in the National League. Just because the standings are saying, well, they're technically in it, there's only two teams behind them. Well, they've jumped over almost all of them at this point. They've done the hard work. The season's on. For real. And once you get to the postseason, who knows? That means you have to go for it. Padres hitting their stride right now. They look like a legitimate team. And I do think ultimately the Padres will catch the Braves. I do. The Braves are going to sink. The Braves just have not been very good. They'll come back to the pack. Sometimes it's just not your year. And we felt that way with Atlanta, maybe, you know, waiting for them to fall off. But this year, they've been ravaged by injury. They've had guys underperforming left and right. Be shocking if they held on. I do think the Padres and Mets will both pass them. Now, can the Mets win the division? Probably not. Like, logically, you'd say that that's not going to be the case. But can they be a top wild card team? Yeah. Or even if they get the second wild card, who matters? What's the difference? Who cares? Doesn't matter. You just got to get in the postseason. Third wild card, second wild card, first wild card. Obviously, you'd rather have the first wild card. But just get in, and then you can do damage. And the Mets have that opportunity. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
Mush Licata. How are we doing, buddy?
What's up, Hector?
What's going on, man? First of all, thank you for last night. We don't got to get into it, but thank you for last night. That was awesome. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, well, just to clarify, I was on your podcast.
Well, not necessarily mine, but yes,
whatever. A podcast. Yeah. I mean, people are like, what the hell happened last night with Hector and Sal? It was a podcast. He asked me to go on the podcast. Yeah, right. Go ahead.
No. Yes. I asked you last minute if you could come on, and you did, and that was great. It was tons of fun. And so thank you for that. But no, listen, man, I'm right there with you with this whole thing. And for me, Sal is like David Stearns with his little smirk, right? And I've been defending this dude. I've been like, you know, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't screwed up a deadline for us. If you accepted the approach they took in the offseason, whether you liked it or not, it's been pretty successful. But the guy has also played with words a lot, you know, with the whole trying to be competitive and all of this stuff. And now we hear that they're going for it. Like I said last night, what does that really mean? We're thinking us, you know, they're going for it. They're all in, and they're going to make whatever moves it takes reasonably to make this team, you know, more of a winning team or give it a better chance. So I wonder, and listen,
I understood when he came in to evaluate, right? You're going to evaluate as a new guy. You want to see what's going on from within. But he also told us the whole time, oh, these players believe in themselves. They think they can be competitive. They think they can be good. If they show that, we're going to go out there and back them up. Now, they've made these little moves, you know, Waker was good. Maton has been solid. We'll see with Stanek. But, yeah, man, I want to go out there and I want to try to, because I'm not, this whole planning for the future stuff and this new way of fandom now that's all about value and, you know, prospects. I just can't get into that stuff. I just can't. And I understand it's important if you want to be sustainable, you know, sustainable success and all of that. But I don't think you can pass up on an opportunity like you have right now.
You nailed it, Hector, and thank you for the call. You nailed it. You can't pass up opportunities. They have an opportunity right now. This is in life, a life lesson for you from your pal Sal. You cannot pass up opportunities. The Mets have an opportunity right there in front of them. Whether we believe they're a World Series team or not, it doesn't matter. They are there. They're in the conversation. They've gotten there. There's not a team that's two games under and you're hoping to get over the 500 mark. They've worked themselves, even with losing two in a row, to a point where they're over 500. They're chasing down the top spot in the wild card. And then once they get there, they could be potentially going after the Phillies who've been struggling themselves. You have to go for it. 50 games left. What more do you need to see? You'd be doing yourself and your fan base a disservice. The Mets should go for it, and they should have the resources with the finances that Cohen has to outbid anybody. Take on a bad contract. I don't care what they do. Figure it out.